Well, as we sung a little earlier in our service this morning, we live in a world that belongs to God. This is the Father's world. And we're so glad of that fact, we who are Christians. We're so blessed to live in a world that is controlled by God. And yet, as we look around us in this world and we appreciate many things that obviously display God's glory, His love and His work, yet there is also much around us that raises questions in our minds. There is an awful lot of evil and wickedness to be seen in this world that belongs to God. We see the work of terrorists in Israel, in America, in countries around the globe. We see the handiwork of those who have no respect for life, who will shoot and stab and kill at will. We've seen on our TV screens and heard over the radio and read in the papers of deaths that have occurred in this past week at the hands of obviously wicked people. And yet we still believe that this is our Father's world, that God is in control despite all of these awful things that we see happening around us. This is what we believe. Sometimes we believe it because we can't face the reality of a world in which God is not in control. It can almost be a grasping at straws. It gives us some comfort to believe that there's a God who is in control. And that even though we can't rationally understand the things that happen in this world, that nevertheless there is something bigger that is in control of all things. So we won't despair altogether that things can't be made better and that we ourselves can avoid the disastrous events that have overtaken some others. But for others of us, this belief in a God who is in control of this world isn't a grasping at straws. We know it to be true. We're absolutely convinced of the facts of this case. We've seen it in world history. We've seen God at work. But more than that, we see it in the scriptures. We're taught it as a plain truth that this is the world not only that God created, but this is the world that God sustains. This is the world that God controls. This is the world in which God is still active, despite the tragedies, despite the pain and the suffering. This is God's world, and He is working out His purposes. And we have an example of the scriptures teaching on this in Acts chapter 12, where we're given three instances of God being in control of the events that were happening, particularly in Jerusalem and the surrounding regions of Judea and Samaria. God was at work in the first century, in the year 40 AD or thereabouts, when these events were taking place. God was working in His world. And we see three ways in which this passage tells us that this is the Father's world. And the first one is in the account of James, the brother of John. We're told there in verses 1 and 2, or we'll read verses 1, 2 and 3 of Acts chapter 12. About that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. And it was during the days of unleavened bread. He stretched out his hand to harass the church. He seizes James and he has him put to death. And God is at work. God is in control. This event, which no doubt shocked the church and caused great distress among the disciples in Jerusalem, was nevertheless God's work. God was in control of this situation. This is the Father's world, and even a tragedy like this is in God's control. No one, Jesus said, could take his life from him. He would give it up. And no one takes the life of any of his disciples either. It is Jesus. It is God who decides how long we will live in this world, when our time is complete. That was true of the other apostles as one by one they died or were put to death, some under incredibly cruel situations. That's been the case throughout the history of the church. As we look back over the centuries and we see, particularly at the period of the Reformation, the many, many godly men and women and children who were put to death. It wasn't evil people overcoming God and succeeding in their battle against God and righteousness. It was God's dealings with this world. It was God's way of bringing about his purposes and his plans. We have a Latimer Square and a Cranmer Square in Christchurch, named after martyrs of the church, markers of history, great events that took place in the history of God's work in this world. Their lives weren't cut short because men overcame God. That was God's time for them. They had done their work, and according to their prayer, they lit such a candle that would never go out. And it hasn't, and it burns brightly today in the far corners of the world. But we can come right up to date, and we can see in the history of just our lives things that have happened and tragedies that have come. Questions that have been raised because of them. The well-known story of Jim Elliot and his four missionary companions in Ecuador, slaughtered at the hands of the tribe that they were taking the gospel to. But out of their death grew a revival, a great harvest of souls. Many, many in that tribe were saved through the witness of the wife of one of those men and the sister of another. It wasn't a tragedy that was beyond God's control. It was part of God's plan for taking the gospel to an unreached tribe. We recently learned of the death of three missionaries in Colombia who had been kidnapped some 8 years ago. Right up until this year, it was unknown as to whether they were dead or alive. What about those men, Mark and Rick and Dave? Was that some awful tragedy that happened there, or was it God's plan? Well, we can look back through history and we can say, well, God's at work there. We may not understand it. There may not have been any great fruit out of their death so far. But they had done their work in this world. It was time for them to go home to their Saviour. When I started at Bible College just a month earlier. A former student of that college died during a climbing accident just weeks before he was due to go to Brazil as a missionary. He left a wife and a young daughter. What a tragedy that that young man should die in that way. He wasn't killed from the spear of an Indian that he was trying to reach with the gospel. He wasn't kidnapped and put to death during the course of his missionary endeavours. A climbing accident, abseiling, things went wrong and his life was snuffed out. He never even got to go to Brazil, never began his missionary service. A waste of a life? No, it was God's time. It was God's way. It was God's plan. We may not know the answers. We may not understand the circumstances. We may have many questions about it, but we can be certain of this. This is God's world. Nothing happens in this world that is outside of His control. We've been praying for a little girl, Mercedes, in the United States of America. Just over 12 months ago, the Department of Social Services there in, I think it's in Massachusetts, knocked on the door, her family's door, and told the mother they were taking her daughter, little 8-year-old girl. The accusation was that they were abusing her. Christian family, homeschooling their daughter, teaching her the Ten Commandments, teaching her to live a holy life. They were abusing her. That child has been in foster care for over 12 months. For 12 months, those parents have been battling the courts, battling government systems, trying to get their daughter back. During all that time, that little girl has gone through horrendous experiences, been encouraged to lie, to call her parents awful names. A twisted mentality has been at work there. But this is God's world still. And that little girl in those awful circumstances is still in God's hands. We may not understand it all. Just as we can look at James and say, well, why was James taken? Why was he allowed to die then when the church seemed to be prospering, when so much seemed to be going well, when there was so much for him to do there? Why did that happen then? Because it's God's world and that was God's plan. This is God's world in the midst of all the tragedies that happen to those we love. It is God's world. He is in control. Secondly, this is the Father's world when terrible things happen to us. It's the Father's world when terrible things happen to other people. It's the Father's world when terrible things happen to us. There was Peter, helping, encouraging, serving, teaching the church there in Jerusalem. News comes that James has been put to death. And almost immediately, Peter finds himself captured in prison. It's a bit of deja vu for him. He's been there before. Last time he escaped. But this time, Herod was taking no chances. 16 soldiers, 4 squads. And there were 4 soldiers in a squad. 16 soldiers were to keep him. He was going to make sure that there would be no escape. You can be certain that these soldiers were on their guard, knowing what had happened previously. And Peter's there in prison, and he's been there for a few days by the time the days of unleavened bread and the Passover is all over. And it's time, the eve before his trial. And Peter's there. Asleep. He's there sleeping. He might be dead tomorrow. All sorts of things to worry about. All sorts of things to keep him awake, quite apart from shackles that are binding him and soldiers that are sitting next to him as he's there in that dungeon. But he's asleep. And he's asleep because he knows this is the Father's world. His Father's world. This wasn't something that was beyond God's control. This was something that was all part of God's control of the circumstances that Peter was in. Peter didn't know that he was going to be released the next that night. He had no idea that this was going to happen to him. But whether he was freed the next day in that trial, or whether he was put to death, Peter knew that God was in control of his circumstances. I wonder what those missionaries in Afghanistan thought. Did they hear about the awful things that had happened in America with the World Trade Center and the Pentagon? Did they know how seriously in jeopardy they were? There in prison by the Taliban in Afghanistan when the whole world was closing in on that country. I wonder what went through their minds there as they endured that imprisonment. But they could have endured it peacefully, knowing that this is their Father's world. And their circumstances at that time were in God's control and all part of God's will and purpose for them at that point in their lives. They may not have known whether they would ever get out of there alive or whether they would be killed, executed for the crime of preaching the gospel. But God was in control. And whether they lived or died, it was God's purpose and plan. The Burnhams, a couple who were missionaries in the Philippines, kidnapped on the 27th of May this year and are still in captivity. Wonder what goes through their minds as they lie there or sit there, imprisoned. And what thoughts occupy those long days and dark nights? Thoughts of God, I'm sure. Many questions, I'm sure. But a knowledge of this, that this is their Father's world. And these circumstances that they're in are not some awful accident, but are all part of God's will and purpose for them. The Burnhams may never be released alive. Or perhaps they will. But whatever happens, it is God's purposes that are being unfolded in these events, not the will of man that is overcoming God. A third way that this world is demonstrated as being the Father's is in the life of Herod, this terrible man who brought terror to the Christians in Jerusalem. There he was, exerting his authority, wielding his power, even on two cities that were not under his control. Tyre and Sidon were outside of his province. He wasn't their ruler. But the food that they got came from his lands. So he had a measure of authority over them. He could manipulate them. And they had obviously done something that had irked him. And he was angry at them. And so he's put pressure on them. And they sent a delegation to him and sue for peace. And this man gives an oration. Josephus tells us that it was at a high day of the Roman Empire when the emperor had just returned from Britain. And Herod gives this oration, and he's clothed in royal apparel, studded with silver and gems that shine and glitter in the light. And as he gives this oration, the people cry out, "The voice of a God and not of a man." And God strikes this God. It wasn't just the emperor of Rome now who was attributed with deity. Herod gets it as well. And Herod dies. Within a very short time, Herod is dead and buried. This man who had the power to seize James and kill him. This man who had the power to imprison Peter. This man who had power over cities outside of his jurisdiction. This man, when God came, died. There was nothing he could do in the face of God. Because this is our Father's world. This is God's world. God could have released James alive, just as he did with Peter. God could have prevented Peter ever being imprisoned. God could have kept Jim Elliot and his friends from being killed by those Indians. God could have prevented Dave, Mark and Rick from being kidnapped in Colombia. God could have prevented that student from being killed in that climbing accident, or Mercedes from being taken by the DSS in the United States. God could have done very different things in the circumstances of all those people and the missionaries in Afghanistan and the Philippines. And in your life and my life, God can do very different things. But God works out his will and his purposes in his way. And sometimes that brings tragedy to our lives. It brings pain. It brings many questions that there are no answers for because God hasn't revealed them. But this is still his world. And we know that if it had been his will, he could have done things differently. No Herod can get in God's way. No Pontius Pilate can get in God's way. No Augustus Caesar can get in God's way. No DSS can get in God's way. No Taliban can get in God's way. God is in control. The early church knew it. And we see three ways then that the church and these individuals responded to their circumstances. Three lessons that we can learn. Three things that we can do. Firstly, they trusted. You see that particularly in Peter's life, don't you? There he is, as I've mentioned before, in that prison. Languishing there between those two guards, with another two at the door watching him, and other guards at the other doors before you got to the gate that went out into the street. And Peter's sleeping. Why is he asleep? Because he trusts in the Father who's in control. He knows that God is at work. Whether he lives or dies, he's trusting in God. And the people, the church, they trust in God as well. We find that when they hear that Peter's been imprisoned, there was constant prayer made to God for him by the church. Why did they do that? Because they trusted God. They trusted in God's power. They knew that this was the Father's world and that he could alter events. He could change the circumstances that they were facing. He could have Peter released if that was his will. They trusted God. The second thing that they did was they prayed. I'm sure that when Peter wasn't sleeping, he was praying. And the church gave up their sleep so that they could pray. There they were, constantly or earnestly in prayer for him. As soon as Peter's released, we find him going to John Mark's mother's house. There the people are gathered together praying. Here were people who were earnest in prayer. They were in prayer because they knew that prayer changes things. That God listens to prayer. That God hears prayer. That God answers prayer. That is all part of the way that God works in this world. He desires that we should pray to him, to ask him for things, and he promises to give us the things that we ask of him when we ask according to his will. When the desires of our hearts are right, he will give us the desires of our hearts, as the psalmist says. Even when things seem at their most hopeless, even when we have certain doubts, when we're not really sure whether God is going to work the way that we're asking him to work. What were these people praying? Well, almost certainly they were praying for Peter's release. This great leader among the leaders of the church, as he was, the spokesman of the apostles. What could they do without Peter? Well, they could continue without Peter, certainly. But if we had such a man as this, we would be praying for his release. And yet, when Peter stands at the door and knocks, what is the response of the people? He must be dead and his angels come to let us know. This servant's girl's got it all wrong. She's hearing things. This cannot be true, that Peter's standing at the door and knocking. They didn't know what to think. They didn't know what to believe. And yet they were praying. And we can pray too, even when things seem the most hopeless that they can be. Even when we're at our wit's end to know what God's will might be. Even when the things that we're praying for, we think can't possibly come true. We can continue praying. We should continue praying. Do Billy and Debbie continue to pray for Mercedes? More than 12 months after she's been taken from them? Yes, they do. Do they have any faith that the court system is going to do them justice? No, they don't. They have too many instances, too many records of where it's failed parents in the past. This isn't an isolated incident. They know that all the powers are against them in this situation. But they carry on praying, carry on asking for others to pray. We must pray. We trust in God that he will work out his purposes. And we keep in earnest prayer to God to answer us according to our desires as best we are able to understand his will. And the third thing that we're to keep doing is to keep working. We're told there that the church in verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. How did the word of God grow and multiply? Because everyone was sitting in an upper room praying? No, because they were active. They were continuing to preach. They were continuing to evangelize. They continued to take the gospel out there to the people. In the midst of their difficulties, they continued to do these things, knowing that this was God's will. That they were to be active, that they were to be evangelists, that they were to be preachers, that they were to be witnesses for him among the people. So they continue to work. It's all very well to trust God and to believe in God's ability to overcome circumstances. It's all very well to keep praying to God and asking him to change circumstances. But we need to continue to work. And to use the opportunities that we do have to serve him. and to be witnesses for him. And God did work, and he grew the church. It multiplied while the wicked man Herod lay rotting in his grave. The power of the gospel was being made known in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and it was soon to go to the uttermost parts of the world, because this is our Father's world. He is in control. But this is our Father's world not only when things are at their worst. It isn't just that God steps into action when the big problems hit us. Many, many people turn to God then, pray to God then, when disaster has struck. But this is our Father's world every day. When the going is good as well as when the going's bad. When the little problems hit us as well as the huge problems. And we need to realize that. And we need to have the same trust in God and prayer to God in the little problems as well as in the big ones. Because you see, it's all too easy for us to take things into our own hands when we think that we can overcome our problems. We'll do it. We'll do it our way, in our strength, because at least this is something I can do. But we need to remember to trust in God in those circumstances as well, in the small problems as well as in the big problems. Not just when our children are manhandled and taken away from us, but when they graze their knee as well. When they're squabbling and we're trying to bring peace back into the home. We trust in God then and we pray to God then in those circumstances as well. Not just when we're being persecuted, but when peace seems to be in our lives and there are many opportunities to witness and no one seems to be opposed to us. We need to trust God then, because you can guarantee Satan is at work somehow, in some way. And if he isn't doing it in an obvious way, he's doing it in a subtle way. And we need to be praying to God then, and trusting in God then, that he will work in us, and through us, and for us. Because this is our Father's world. And in closing, let me just emphasize the fact that it is our Father's world. This isn't some God who's at a distance. Some God who's playing chess with us. Moving the pawns around. Doesn't matter if one gets knocked off because he's got a few more anyway. This is our Father. This is a God who loves us. A God who's caring for us. Our pain is his pain. He doesn't gladly and happily put us into circumstances where we're attacked. We can have this confidence that even when things are at their worst, God loves us. And even when we have many questions and no answers, God loves us. And when our worst nightmares are unfolding in reality before our eyes, God loves us. And we can take comfort from that, despite the unanswered questions, despite the pain that's tearing our hearts apart. God loves us, and God is in control. But is God your Father this morning? Is this God, the God of James who died, the God of Peter who was released, the God of the church who prayed and were active, is this your God? Are you on his side? Is he working for you? Or are you his enemy? And is he working against you? Because you see, there's no middle ground somewhere between being a James and a Peter and between being a Herod. You're either one or the other. You're either a saint or a sinner. You're either someone who is at peace with God or you're an enemy of God. You're either destined for heaven or you're destined for hell. It's one or the other. There's no middle way here. This is my Father's world, a Father who loves me, a Father who is working all things for my good, in the hard times as well as in the good times. But is this your Father's world, or is it your enemy's world? Is God on your side? Are you on God's side? Or are you working against God? And are you under the judgment of God? This is an important question to ask. An important issue to resolve. To be right with God. To be able to trust God and hope in God. That is crucial. And the only way you can do that is through trusting in Jesus Christ, God made flesh, who dwelt among us and who gave his life for his people. May God help us all to trust in him and live for him. Amen.